This is the WHL This Week radio edition presented by the Western Hockey League, the WHL broadcast partners, and Bauer Hockey. Here's your host, John Keane.
And welcome to the show. Ahead, we'll hear from two top NHL draft picks. Portland's Seth Jarvis coming off a big week as the WHL On the Run Player of the Week, and part of a Portland team that's on a very impressive run. Spokane's Jack Finley is fresh off the top prospects game in Hamilton. The 6'5" centerman is NHL bloodlines and is used to this attention. You'll find out why later in the show. First up, the BC Hockey Hall of Fame has announced its class of 2020. The group of inductees this July includes former Prince George Cougar Eric Brewer, who's now part owner of the hockey club, and the 2002 Kootenay Ice into the team category. WHL champions that year went on to win the Memorial Cup in Guelph, Ontario. The general manager that year was Jeff Chenault, now the GM of the Calgary Hitmen. I asked him about getting the call to the Hall.
Well, I think, John, I'm very honored and humbled. Obviously, you've brought back a lot of great memories. It was a special time early on in our tenure in Cranbrook, and my first year as a general manager in the Western Hockey League, and it's something that you'll never forget.
There has to be some sort of images sort of burned in your mind from that year, whether, you know, it was the playoffs or the Memorial Cup in Guelph. What comes to mind first when we talk about that team?
Well, I think there was quite a bit. We had a lot of adversity thinking back to it. We lost Jared Stoll, our unofficial captain, was an assistant captain at that time. He sliced his thumb almost off with a steak knife trying to separate frozen steaks after the third game of the season. He was out for an extended period of time. The late Marek Svatos was a big goal scorer for us. He had a shoulder injury. So, you know, we came in the season, you know, everyone picked us, you know, to be one of the top teams. And if you remember at that time, we were in the BC division. We weren't in the Central division where we ended up the last little bit in Kootenay. So we were playing a kind of a mixed hybrid type of schedule. So, you know, right off the bat, two of our best players. Then Dan Blackburn, you know, our goaltending wasn't good enough. He was still playing in the NHL with the New York Rangers. So we had a lot of adversity early on in the year. We ended up making a big trade with Swift Kern for Duncan Milroy. And, you know, he was a big part of our team as the year went on. And, you know, it was like a lot of things went on in that first half of the year. And really, our team never really took off. We were just barely above 500 for most of the season.
You know, and talk about more adversity, too. Round one of the playoffs, you mentioned the BC division. You get the Prince George Cougars in round one, and you have home ice advantage. But if you recall, you drop both games in round one at home to go 0-2 up to PG. So take me back to that first round series.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because it was a 2-3-2. It was kind of unheard of back then to do a 2-3-2. But with the travel between Cranbrook and Prince George, we just felt it was best for the players. So, and we felt comfortable in our group. And anyways, we lose the first two at home. And one of the things that sticks out for me was, and I missed the first two games. I was at the SAS First Camp in Regina that weekend and came back just before to get on the bus to go to Prince George. And Duncan Milroy left me a note and said, "Don't worry, we'll win all three." And Duncan, as you know, had a little bit of personality and a little bit of bravado and cockiness, if you want to call it. And anyways, we went up to Prince George and won the next three games. I think he got 8 points in the three games.
Yeah.
He was a man possessed. Yeah. So we come back. We're up 3-2 in the first round of PG. We think we've got this in the bank. Well, we lose game six at home. And every game now, the visiting team has won in going into game seven, which is next night. It was a Monday, Tuesday. And anyways, so we're now everyone's on pins and needles. We go to game seven, and we're fortunate enough to come out on top in game seven. And, you know, we kind of got our rolling from there, got a little break in the second round of the playoffs. My brother was coaching the Seattle Thunderbirds, and they upset the Portland Winterhawks, who were the top seed. And so we ended up playing Seattle in the second round, swept them in four games, four tough games. They were close. And then we got to the third round, and this is where the Kelowna Rockets dynasty started. We played them in the Western Conference Final and won the first three games, and won the first two, lost game three, won game four, and then won game five. And then to advance to the Western Hockey League Final, we played our rivals, the Red Deer Rebels, who we played probably 6 to 8 times the year because we had maintained that hybrid schedule, and kind of like Swift Current is this year, playing their rivals that are close to them, Calgary and Red Deer.
Memorial Cup, you get to Guelph. Probably still riding high from how you're able to pick it up and go on to win. But what stands out from that tournament in Guelph that year?
Well, I think the big thing that really stands out is we were fortunate to go to Halifax in 2000, 2 years earlier. So we had 5 players still remaining from that team. So we knew as a group what to expect. Ryan McGill and Corey Clouston did a great job throughout the playoffs, but they were definitely different. And what I mean by different, more focused and more, you know, they were driven that they weren't going to let what happened in Halifax when we went 0-3 happen again in Guelph in 0-2. And, you know, they weren't a lot of fun to be around, but they're there for a reason and the ultimate reason to win a championship. So, you know, we got off and, you know, in those days it was kind of a, you know, a quick tournament. Well, we played the Erie the first game. And then the next day we had a quick turnaround against the host team and we won with, I think, 15 or 30 seconds left. Thomas Pleahall, who was a San Jose Sharks draft pick, scored, and we ended up more or less advancing to the league final there. So even though we lost to Victoriaville in our final round robin game, we already knew we were going to the final. So, you know, we were focused and, you know, what was going to happen. So we assumed we were going to play Erie in the league final, or excuse me, in the Memorial Cup final. Well, Victoriaville came back and beat them. They were down big in the game. They came back and they won in overtime. So Victoriaville had to play 4 games in 4 nights because they played the tiebreaker, the one, you know, the playoff game, and then the semifinal, then us. And it's another funny story from the Memorial Cup. Both teams were at the same hotel in Guelph.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you're seeing them around and, you know, just you think back to some funny things back then. And, you know, it was one of those games where, you know, we should have won. They're playing 4-4. They're coming off an emotional high. We haven't played, but still we got up big and then they scored a couple fluky goals. And then we got up big again and they scored a couple late ones. And I think the final was 6-3. But, you know, we had some players that really stepped up, not only in the playoffs and the Memorial Cup. And as you know, that's what you need to win championships. Your best players have to be the best players.
Yeah, even, you know, unsung guys like Colin Sinclair. I think he had a big tournament there for Ian Guelph as well. So
Colin Sinclair had a big tournament. BJ Boxma, every round of the playoffs and the Memorial Cup, the weakness of the Kootenai Ice was BJ Boxma. And, you know, was it the first round of the playoffs? We were going against Billy Thompson and Prince George. The second was Nick Pannone in Seattle. Third was Shane Bender in Kelowna, then Cam Ward in the league final against Red Deer. And you just, you know, as you want your goalie just to play as well as the other guy. You don't have to be spectacular. You just have to be good and not let in the weak ones. And BJ was outstanding in the playoffs and kind of an unsung hero for us. But as you know, if you don't get good goaltending, you're not going to win.
Now you get a chance to kind of wind back the clock nearly 20 years, 18 years in this case, and get everybody together, or get as many people as you can get together in Penticton for that BC Hockey Hall of Fame celebration here. So what do you expect on that weekend there that day?
Well, I think it's going to be very special. I've heard from a few of the guys. I had let a few of them know in advance when the committee gave us the call. We had a 10-year reunion of our Memorial Cup team in 2012, and we also tied in a 10-year reunion of our 2000 team in the same year. So we had 23 former players back from those two teams in 2012. So, you know, we've seen a few of those guys, you know, if you still live in Cranbrook and area, and you see them, you know, throughout our travels. But I think, you know, hopefully we can get a good turnout there, John. It's well deserved. You know, anytime you win a championship, it's nice to be recognized. Anytime you get a chance to go into Hall of Fame, it's even more special. And this was a real special group, and I'm looking forward to sharing with them in July in Penticton.
Jeff Chenault, you guys should have a great time in Penticton celebrating that 2002 Memorial Cup and WHL Championship team. Thanks for winding back memory lane here for us on WHL this week.
My pleasure, John. Thanks for having me.
This is the WHL This Week, presented by Bauer Hockey.
Big centerman Jack Finley of the Spokane Chiefs was ranked 46th amongst North American skaters in the NHL Central Scouting midterm rankings, averaging nearly a point a game. I caught up with Jack this week.
It's a big year for you here, and I know there's more attention and the spotlight on you, so how are you dealing with it all here this year?
Yeah, no, it's been a fun year so far. We got another good team this year, and you know, we have our team finalized now after the deadline, and you know, I'm excited to finish off a great season so far with the guys that we have.
Fresh off top prospects in Hamilton, what was that experience like for you, Jack?
It was awesome. I mean, you know, you hear about all these top guys our age and just through social media and stuff, and getting a chance to go over and play with and against all those guys, and, you know, making friendships with those guys and seeing how you match up against, you know, the top guys in the draft class. It's amazing. And I learned a lot about, you know, myself and, you know, what I need to do to get to that next level. And, you know, I'm grateful to have gotten the opportunity.
All right, so now you let that digest and see, you know, how you do fit in with that group. So where do you think you slide in with all those top players draft eligible?
Yeah, no, I think I look upon myself as one of those top guys. And, you know, I think, you know, just by working hard and having a great rest of my season, I think, you know, I can improve and work my way up. But I think, you know, I'm not far off from those top guys.
You know, obviously I see you're a big guy, 6'5", and you're almost that NHL scout's dream because you're that big body forward that everyone seems to crave, even though there's more room for smaller players here. So tell me about your game, and if I'm an NHL general manager and if I'm asking you to describe your game, what do you say?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm, like you said, a big body playmaking center. I think I have a good complete game, and, you know, I take pride in playing defense and shutting guys down and playing hard against top lines. You know, I try and play in as many different positions as I can and try and log as much minutes as I can. And, you know, I think I got good hockey sense, good instincts, and, you know, ability to make plays and take the puck and my body to the net, so.
Jeff Finley, your dad, NHLer as well. That's a huge advantage, I would think, here. So tell me about that relationship and just having him kind of being able to kind of let you know how it's going to be, help you out for this year and beyond.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, I'm grateful to have him and everything that he's done for me. And just, you know, growing up and getting an inside look on what the NHL is like and, you know, what guys do away from the rink to train and all that stuff. It, you know, gave me an edge over kids my age, and now that he gets to come and watch me, and, you know, he watches all my games online, so he's able to critique my game and just give me pointers and stuff like that, so I'm lucky to have him.
This isn't the first time in a draft year that you've been in the spotlight, and I think back to your Bantam draft year, and there was actually a TV documentary that followed you around. It was pretty neat. It was on TELUS here in BC, and it was called Our Game, and boy, it, you know, had a lot of intimate moments behind the scenes. What was it like in your draft year to have the cameras and everybody on you? It probably prepares you pretty good here for this year.
Yeah, it was a cool experience. I didn't really know what to expect going into it, and neither did the producers and those guys, but we kind of, you know, made it into like a small town hockey and the draft and everything like that, and you know, it worked out really good, and it was a really fun process. And you know, now, you know, a couple of years later, looking back on it and telling my friends about it, it's awesome.
Yeah, it almost is a great way to kind of document that you're here for. I know we're doing a lot of that now here, Jack, so best of luck rest of the year here, and have a great NHL draft day there in Montreal. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
The Western Hockey League Player of the Week.
Seth Jarvis continues to turn heads in his second year in the WHL with the Portland Winterhawks. He's the WHL On the Run Player of the Week, and voice of the Winterhawks, Nick Merrick, has more.
Seth Jarvis, the On the Run Player of the Week, now joining us on the radio show. Seth, it was a phenomenal week for you. 9 points in two games against two divisional rivals. Just how was your week overall?
Yeah, it was awesome. I think playing those guys are definitely hard teams to play against in the division, but I think our team played really well, and I think our line with me, Darrell, and O'Brien produced again.
How are you able to find a groove in January? It's been a phenomenal month for you. You trying to turn the page here in 2020?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of that. I think coming back from that prospects game, it really put me in a different mindset of just where I need to be and compared to those other guys. So I think this pushed me even more just to really come out here and perform.
Since you alluded to it, what is it about the top prospects game? It gives 17-year-olds a chance to kind of size themselves up against one another in the CHL and get to see some QMJHL and OHL stars as well. Is it nice to kind of compare yourself with the other fellow 17-year-olds?
Yeah, for sure. That's how I think everyone kind of figures out where they slot in and where they have to get better. So I think when you're going against those guys, I think you kind of figure out what you need to do, where you want to get better, and how hard you need to push yourself.
One of the on-ice elements you did really well at was the fastest reaction time. You ranked inside the top three. What was it about that skill in particular that made you succeed?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I think maybe the edge work helped out. I think it was a lot of tight turns and reacting quickly, but I've done that stuff before, so I think just going through it a couple more times brought back a little bit, a couple tips and tricks I remembered from doing it last time, so I think it was good.
Now when you get to the game, you guys are all starting up and everybody's on the blue line. Just what was that moment like? Did you kind of have a chance to sink it in that you're playing the top prospects game and you're the 17th Winterhawk this decade to do so? Or did it kind of have to take a few shifts until you really sunk in?
No, yeah, I think it sunk in right when I kind of went out for warm-ups, seeing all those different jerseys. I think that was something that was pretty cool. I think I just treated it like any other game. I just need to go out there and play how I know I have to play.
You've been electric in January. You're leading the WHL currently in points this month. Just how have you seen your game kind of take the step to the next level, maybe where you want it to, and you're finding yourself in a top five scoring spot as well in the WHL?
Yeah, I think it's just all the hard work that I've been putting in. I think it's starting to come to fruition. I think Darrell's been playing unbelievable too. I think he can't go unnoticed. He's been unreal. I think us two together, I think we're really doing something special right now. So I think as long as that dynamic keeps going, I think we're going to be really good.
I've talked with you about this earlier in the year as well, but the fact that you've had a 16-year-old centerman on your line most of the season and you've been putting up points, whether it's Jack O'Brien, Tyson Kozak, Gabe Clausen, how has it been like adjusting knowing that you're a relatively young line, but you're still able to produce offensively?
Yeah, I think being a young line last year with Dewey and Darrow, I think it's just the same kind of idea. I think people may look at our line and be like, oh, they're 17, 18, 16. So I think maybe they take advantage of us, but we go out there right away and set the tone for everybody and make them catch up to us and play how we know we have to.
Well, the offensive numbers have clearly been there. Defensive side as well, I know you take big pride in that and the team's penalty kill. Has that been a big focus for you this year as well in lieu of your draft season?
Yeah, getting on the penalty kill was big for me. I think watching those guys last year, I picked up a lot of stuff. I've worked with Don on the video and stuff, so I think whenever I can get out there for a little bit more ice time, and especially when it's trusted in something in the D zone, I think it's awesome.
We're in the final stretch of the regular season, if you will. A lot of U.S. Division games coming up. 22 games left in the season, 17 of those against rivals. Just what's going to be the focus for this Winterhawks team to try to stay in first and ward off your Everts and Spokane chasing?
Yeah, just grabbing every point we can every night. I think whether it's 1 point or hopefully 2 points every night, I think that's the big part, just not letting that lead slip away from us that we've built ourselves. So I think just grabbing every point we can and playing hard.
Hey, that's the show. I want to say thanks to Nick in Portland as well, to our guests this week. I'm John Keane. Thanks for listening.
This has been a presentation of the Western Hockey League in cooperation with the WHL broadcast partners and Bauer Hockey.